Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved. Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey Sheila, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good today, but looking forward to talking with you. That always makes things better.
Right. I know we always have a little bit connecting with our calls, the recording, and you mentioned that there might be a little bit of wind in the background. And I'm going to segue from that statement because I think we both agree that we'd like to have some kind of conversation surrounding what's going on in LA with the fires and how, the impact. Is there anything that we can try to think about doing or just getting our head around it, I think. Does that kind of sum it up?
It does. I think, we had a conversation leading up to this and talked about some of the questions that we're asking ourselves is so what we can do and also what we should do. And there's a few honest points that we may want to make in this recording. And so we thought it would be fitting for Imperfectly Honest.
No, I agree. I agree. And I guess just hearkening back to that conversation, I think we kind of came to the conclusion it's like there's two separate issues. Is there anything and what it is that we can kind of do now and in the short term to help all of the people who have been so impacted and continue to be impacted and will into the future with the damage? Devastation financially, emotionally, physically. And then the second, more macro, is okay, is there anything we can do to make more of a systemic change in the future? Because everything that we're hearing, and that's what adds to the frustration, is it's not like this is going to go away. It's gotten worse. And so you want to tackle the things that can be done personally?
I guess I'd like to frame my thoughts by just saying that I have thought about this a lot in the context of what to do when there's a natural disaster. I feel for the people who have lost their homes and have been impacted by this. I think this fire has hit areas that house low-income people who are already struggling to make ends meet, and then this becomes a real challenge. And then it also just disrupts people who have family and friends and professional roots and personal roots in communities. And these natural disasters just make that really challenging, even when they have the means to rebuild or when they have insurance money to rebuild. Just that disruption and displacement is challenging. And so I, like many people, feel compelled to help by opening our pocketbook. And also by, reaching out to others to encourage them to give to those natural relief efforts. And I have been thinking about how to figure out what percentage of my time and capital I want to put into the immediate need. Because the immediate need is dire, and I want to address that need. But I guess my honest point is that I don't know that that's going to solve the problem. It's not going to solve the problem. It's just a solving the immediate need. And so I'm trying to think more broadly about how I can support systemic change, not just the immediate need.
So maybe I'll switch it and we can start by having that conversation. What it sounds like people are talking about in terms of moving forward to help make a systemic change. That might actually kick off the conversation better, and then we can kind of address other ways that we want to, as you say, the more immediate need, which is
Right.
again solving a problem because the need of people is a problem that needs to be solved. So,
Right.
do you have thoughts about that first systemic change ways that are like staring all of us in the face?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can just tell you how I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about the root causes. So I'm giving to organizations that are addressing climate change. I also think that education is a great way to support systemic change. And so I actually give the largest percentage of my philanthropic donations to education. And I think if you want to be hyper local in your giving and want to do something to support that particular community, a lot of the schools have really been impacted from this. And so you might think about how you might be able to support those schools and their rebuilding efforts and maybe to even make them stronger going forward.
I guess I'm feeling like that might be the second part, because that's
Yeah.
especially the school thing. I guess part of the systemic changes that I feel like I've really been reading a lot about in the last week, people are going to rebuild in that area. It's not like, okay, nobody can live there because the risk of fires is increasing astronomically and it's just going to happen again. And so climate change, yes, when you said that, I mean, that can help, but it's going to happen and it's going to happen more often. And so, systemic changes that people feel like they're highlighting is in the rebuilding process, like more community planning about how to rebuild these communities to have so much more fire mitigation factors involved. And I've been looking this stuff up and whatever, and I'm not going to get into this whole litany of things, but there definitely needs to be more money put into government entities to address the concept of wildfires, just because what the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management, I knew that was going to be a mouthful, can help do in the long term is more work in terms of the areas that surround these communities that are populous in fire mitigation. And there's conflict because some people feel they want to concentrate on the timber and getting the timber out as opposed to just burning it all down, because that's a fire mitigation process, which people go, oh my God, you're starting a fire to eliminate or to minimize fires. And that's what they do. They try to take out the fuel. And unfortunately, taking out the fuel means control burns and more clearing of the aftermath of the burns. And again, I'll be brief. I'm not an expert by any means, but it does sound as if that is money that will have to come from the federal government because they own these lands. And so, if there was more of an effort put in that area to big picture, I mean, I read something like, unfortunately, it's a lot, 5 to 6 billion a year for the next 10 years. Although, in comparison to some of our other budgets, it's really not that much. That sounds like one of the systemic changes that could be helpful. And then bringing it back to more of putting it in the people's hands, it's being mindful when they rebuild their communities about the placement of their homes, the materials used to build their homes, the vegetation surrounding their homes, because it does sound as if that's been a big fueler. Fueler? I don't know if that's a word. In what's been happening now because it just feeds. And not even being mindful, one of the things I read today, in fact, people make real efforts for this, but then if there's just one part of their home, like a vent, an outside vent that doesn't have a screen on it, it can, that's an entryway for a fire to get inside. And then it just, and again, I'm not an expert, but it, to get back to what you said at the beginning, education, putting money into whatever entity can educate people who are in these fire zones and making decisions about rebuilding or even just remodeling or doing extra stuff to help the cause.
Yeah, and also as you're saying this, you're talking about some federal funding, which obviously we're not going to give to via donations. And so it's also important to be engaged on a local level with politics and also on the national level. There's so much attention paid to the top of the ticket, and the majority of change happens at the local level.
It does. You're right. And I'm, again, from my reading, I've been really educating myself this week. It's not just the federal. You're right. This problem can have solutions that are drafted at all those levels. But because of the fact that so much of the land in question that has this impact is owned by government, you can't leave them out of the picture.
Yeah. For me, I feel that there are two natural inclinations that are actually counter to the best way to find a solution for situations like this. One is that it's human nature to give when there's an immediate need that's tugging on your heartstrings, which it is helpful to give when there is an immediate need like that. But I find that people seem to be less willing to make donations to address the root of the problem rather than the symptom. And that frustrates me. But I also just think it's human nature to react like that. And so I just want people to think a little bit more creatively and systematically about the way that they're going to respond to issues like this. The second thing is that I think I've noticed this in myself in watching the stuff on the news. It just feels so hopeless. The problem is so big that I feel like I just can't even pay attention to this because I don't even know where to start. And that's not going to help anyone having that attitude. So
No, yeah. It's hard not to, though. I
I know.
understand because there is a lot of doom and gloom. There is, but that's kind of the way really big problems can be, especially ones that are out of our control. We cannot control the weather. We can't. I mean, we can try with climate control. It's actually in that phrase. But we have success in that area, and then we have not so much success in that area. And I think identifying that's a macro issue, that's a major macro issue. Dropping down a little bit to what I was just talking about, all of this federal land that is almost tinder at times. How do we change that? And
Yeah.
I don't have the answer, but it's like let's at least get the awareness inside of people who then again will bring it to the more local levels, who will bring it to the higher levels, that kind of thing. I mean, that's all I think we're going to be able to say in this forum.
Yeah. And but I also just think that even when there's huge problems, there are small things that people can do, like voting, for instance, is a small thing that can make a big impact. And just thinking about when things feel hopeless, I try to think, what are three specific actions that I can make? Who are three people that I can find to support these actions that I want to take? And who are three people that I can just tell about these solutions to see if they can tell more people? Because, everybody has a different network, but a lot of people have at least one person in their world who can influence 50 people, say. And that starts to create a ripple effect that can make a bigger impact.
No, I agree with you. And again, that's why education, some form of education around movement forward, not just it's hopeless. We're going to have these intense fires. We can't control the Santa Ana winds. So we can't do anything. But education, we can do some things. Baby steps, maybe. It's kind of like you're taking three steps. It's like this is going to be baby steps going forward. At least my perception is that. And I guess that does bring me back after having this kind of macro talk to the beginning of the baby steps in terms of not only helping the need on the ground, literally, for people, as you said earlier, who, may don't have the resources, may not have insurance covering everything, which is probably going to be the case for a lot of people. They may not have insurance at all, or it's not going to cover what they need, or it's going to take such a long period of time they cannot maintain their lives where they want to anymore. And so, is there a way in a micro way of raising funds? Because we have everybody in this country's attention right now. I don't mean we, I mean LA. And so that kind of brought me into what was the impetus for the conversation you and I had, where I read something. I've read a few different things of suggestions because this is award seasons. LA is the home of movie television, and this is a huge time frame for them, including for a lot of the people that I just described, whose income level is quite a bit lower than the stars we see, but who are the backbone of the industry and who have really been disadvantaged a lot over the last few years between COVID, all the strikes and everything. And this is kind of, speaking of strikes, this could be the last strike against them. So if there's some way of immediately, with baby steps, putting some much needed money in their pockets to get them over whatever hump is being created right now. And that's what I think the impetus again for the conversation to repeat myself was just a, it was a blog posting on one of the sites that I get my news from, and it brought up a suggestion that we could use these award shows, specifically the Academy Awards, to just raise a ton of money and bring in the whole community and make it entertaining. Because I know, as a side note, there have been some people saying we can't celebrate ourselves through this time. That would be inappropriate. So let's cancel it all, which other people, I'm not the only one, said that would be probably the worst thing for so many of the people that would need it by just canceling it. So instead, use it. And again, I'm not coming, somebody, and we will cite everybody that I'm mentioning. This guy, I tried to write down the names because I like to give credit where credit is due. This was a guy called Sonny Bunch, and he writes for the Bulwark, BWARK, WARK. And in one of his movie reviews at the end, he gave some suggestions for what could be done on the Academy Award telecast to just have it explode. And then I'm just seeing today, others have brought up the mantle. Rosanna Arquette put something out on Instagram saying almost the same thing, different spin, and I'm sure she came up with it herself. And then there's another article by a Hollywood reporter, and he's also putting forward wonderful ideas about bringing in the firefighting community, bringing in the people who've lost their homes, incorporating them into this kind of extravaganza. One of the writings that I saw, it was likening it to the Jerry Lewis telethon of years past. It wouldn't be like that long. That was like 24 hours. I think that would be too long in this day and age. But Having there be motivation for the people watching to really want to pick up the phone, or not the phone, I guess go online. That was really dating me there. No picking up the phones anymore, no phone banks. But make it entertaining. And I mean, there's so many celebrity. One article that I wrote suggested Billy Crystal, like the MC of the Academy Awards for so many years, always successful. He lost his home.
I didn't hear that,
Well,
huh?
why wouldn't you have him be a part of it? To
Right.
come on, and not a part of it. Okay, let's give money to Billy Crystal. I think he would be the last person who would want to take any money. But to be on and say, I'm giving money, you give money. I mean, matching funds from so many of these multimillionaire, billionaire people who are associated with the industry. A little bit of shaming, maybe, to get some more bucks out of them. And what entertaining. And the last idea I had, because I knew we were going to talk about the systemic stuff and how to educate people, I think they could incorporate something in that telecast. Short, very entertaining, that gives some information about fire mitigation for people personally with their homes to just get the wheels turning. Or to your end of it, how they can get in touch with politicians about these macro systemic level solutions where federal money might have to come into play.
I love all
Yeah.
those ideas. That's great, Sheila.
So, everybody out there listening, get the conversation going. Maybe there'll be somebody in your network that can help run with this, even though I think it's already being run with. I mean, I think there are substantive people out there probably thinking about it. It's hard at this point with the fires kind of still raging to feel like, okay, now let's come up with the solutions now that we're all safe, because we're not all safe.
I love all those ideas. And I just have to say that I never want things like the Oscars to be canceled because there's a tragedy, because it's a celebration of greatness. The people who are winning those awards have dedicated their entire lives to their art. And I think that there's nothing better to do in the face of tragedy but to honor greatness and remind people that there's extraordinary people out there and all those things. Plus, it's entertaining, which people always need some sort of a
Oh yeah.
relief.
I agree. And also, to that point, but again, going with like the micro level, you talk about, and I completely agree with you, the artists, and those are the ones that get most of the attention in these, but highlighting, finding a way of highlighting the helpers, as Mr. Rogers would say, look to the helpers. And there was actually a point, because as you can tell, I'm a fan of award shows, in the Golden Globes this year, I think it was the Golden Globes, where Colin Farrell, I think it's Colin Farrell, I'm gonna have to check on all this and I'll put it in the notes if I'm wrong. But when he was giving his acceptance speech, first he made a joke, I did this all by myself. And then he specifically called out like craft people, because he was getting the award for the penguin, where he was the Batman penguin character, and he had to wear this horrible latex makeup every time he was acting, and it was immensely sweat producing. He was very hot, and he just shouted out to the craft people who helped him keep hydrated, were bringing him stuff. And I mean, that seems like such a small thing, but maybe not to him. And so all of these artists that we see their handicraft on the screen, he was saying, but that person helped me be better in that role, because I could act. I wasn't suffering. I wasn't in intense pain. So it's, again, using the phrase that we all like to use, and I think it's a great phrase, it takes a village. And right now, that village is LA.
Well, Sheila, I have to admit that I was one of those people that was watching the fires and just thinking, oh, this is so hopeless. I'm just not even going to waste any energy on this. And I'm going to focus on places where I feel like I can make a difference. And then you called me and threw out this idea of doing this episode. And it got me thinking in good ways. And I do want to do something now. So thank you. And I think that just is another example of the power of how one person can make a difference.
Well, maybe. I mean, I'm admitting my limitations. I don't have a huge network of people. If I could think of somebody who I could put this in front of, who I think is in any kind of decision-making position to help, again, move it along the road here, I would, but I'm just putting it out there to others, small as the pool may be, to just kind of spread it out there.
Yeah, well, I think you're underestimating your power. You
Oh, okay.
yeah. I feel strongly about that. You're underestimating your power. You've already started a ripple effect. There's many people who may listen to this that have extraordinary networks. So
Oh, I would love
you
that. I would
never
love
know.
that.
You
Yeah,
never know.
that would be my goal completely. So thank you for saying that. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think we might have said everything we want to say on this issue because, like I said, I'm not an expert on any of these things, and I don't want to act like I'm an expert. I feel very strongly that we shouldn't feel hopeless, and even if we take just a little bit of control over situations that feel like we have absolutely no control, it helps all of us.
Yep, I agree. I agree. All right. Well, thank you again for bringing this to my attention and inspiring me to talk about it. So,
Well, thank you for getting excited too.
All right.
Okay.
Until next time.
Until next time, bye, Elizabeth.
Bye.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.